Good morning, everyone. As I say, my name is Nolan MacDonald. I'm a PhD student based in Ireland. And the title is Soil-Based Nitrogen Tests Accounting for Mineralised Soil on Contrasting Irish Soils. Before I start, I would like to acknowledge my co-authors on this paper, all of which are on the first slide, but also the institutions that have affiliations with this project, and they include the Agricultural Catchments Programme in Ireland, Queen's University in Belfast, Teagasc, which is an agriculture and food development authority in Ireland, and the Agri-Food and Bioscience Institute in Northern Ireland. So, okay, I'm just going to give you a few facts about Ireland, just to give you a context of where this work has taken place. There's about 6.9 million hectares of land in Ireland. It's about the similar size to Indiana State. 4.2 million hectares of this is in agricultural land, of which 90% is grassland. The main enterprises on this grassland is dairy, beef and sheep. We have a temperate climate in that we have cold, cool, wet winters. We have humid summers. We have about a total rainfall from about 750 to 1,400 millimetres per year. And we can have from anything from 150 days up to 250 days of rain per year. We have a long growing season, so we could have up to 11 months of growing grass. Due to glacial deposition in Ireland, we have a large spatial variability of soils across Ireland. We have about 10 great soil groups classified in Ireland, which are dispersed throughout the island of Ireland, which you can see here on the slide. So just the whole focus of this study that I'm looking at is looking at the nitrogen that's made available from the soil itself, irrespective of any inputs that's coming from chemical or organic fertilisers. So to understand this, we're looking at the nitrogen mineralisation in the soil. So here I have a fancy diagram of the nitrogen cycle. So what we're looking at is nitrogen mineralisation, which is the breakdown of organic matter, more importantly organic nitrogen, by microbes into available forms of nitrogen, which is ammonium and nitrate ions. So just a bit of background to give you an indication of what's kind of driving this study. Previous Irish research reported a range of nitrogen recovery from 74 to 212 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per year across 15 Irish grassland sites, and these were controlled plots in that they received no fertiliser. Current Irish recommendations for nitrogen do not take this nitrogen that's been mineralised into the soil into consideration, so it's not soil specific. It's based on a number of cumulative factors, such as the nitrogen demand to grow grass for livestock grazing, and also the requirement for silage conservation because livestock are housed during the winter. And it's also dependent upon the level of farm nitrogen inputs, if they're going to be chemical or from organic sources. And all of these recommendations are constrained by national, which is Irish national and European regulations. So in order for us to have to effectively measure this nitrogen in the soil, we require a soil nitrogen test that is reliable, repeatable and economical. So there is a number of research and developments that have been carried out throughout the world in terms of looking at different nitrogen tests. And these tests can be categorised into two types. You have a biological nitrogen test, which is reliable types of tests. However, they're time consuming. You could take from as little as 7 days up to 210 days. And then there's chemical tests. So they're slightly the opposite. You could do them in about 1 to 3 days, but their reliability has been questionable. And it's this reliability in which we want to look in the context of Irish soils. So the aim of the project is to account for nitrogen made available through mineralisation in a range of Irish grassland soils. And the principal objectives were, firstly, to explore a range of soil nitrogen tests for assessing soil nitrogen mineralisation capacity and grassland production potential. To secondly, classify Irish soils according to their ability to supply this mineralisable nitrogen to grass growth. And thirdly, to take into account this nitrogen that's made available in the soil into our recommendations. So the assumption, or our hypothesis, or assumption was that anaerobic incubation is a reliable representative standard soil nitrogen mineralisation test, and that chemical tests can be used to estimate soil nitrogen mineralisation levels and therefore replace the standard anaerobic incubation test, and that there is a variability in Irish soils large enough for chemical soil nitrogen tests to differentiate soils based on their soil nitrogen mineralisation potential and to supply nitrogen. So what we did is we collected 37 soils at a depth of 10 centimetres throughout the island of Ireland, so north and south of the border. And while we were there, we also reported the previous fertiliser history from the site and any other soil characteristics. We carried out a range of biological, physical and chemical analysis, and the properties that we looked at are, for example, phosphorus, potassium, total nitrogen, carbon, organic matter and texture classes. We did a lot more, but this is some examples. But the main kind of test, or the main analysis where we were looking at, was different nitrogen tests. So what I have here is a table of about six chemical tests that I looked at, and one standard, biological test to which everything was compared to. So the first there is a 2-molar potassium chloride, or KCl, test. What this is extraction, so is extracting soil with KCl and analysing for mineral nitrogen, which is nitrate and ammonia. The second then is a hot 2-molar KCl. So it's same to the first one, but the difference is that there's heat introduced and we're analysing for ammonium species. The third is a mild acid oxidation test. So what this is we're extracting with acidified potassium permanganate, followed up by a steam distillation process, and then we're analysing for ammonium. The next two types of tests is a UV absorbance. So here, 1-molar KCl extract is read at 260 nanometers, and then this extract has a step where nitrate is removed, and then it's read at 210 nanometers. The last one there, in terms of the chemical test, is something that some of you might have heard of already. It's the L-nitrogen nitrogen test, or the amino sugar test. So what this is, it's a diffusion process where the soil is directly treated with sodium hydroxide. It's placed into a canning or a mason jar, and it's sealed with a lid. And on the top of the lid is a petri dish suspended from the lid with boric acid in it. So it's placed on a heat source. So what is occurring is ammonia is being diffused from the soil at a heat source, usually a hot plate of 50 degrees for 5 hours. And then we get ammonium trapped in the boric acid. So that's what we analyse for. So the last test there, what I've highlighted, is a 7-day anaerobic incubation test. So it's where soils are waterlogged in a test tube and they're incubated at 40 degrees. And then we carry out a 2-molar KCl extraction and we analyse for ammonium. So we do this at time zero and we do it at 7 days. So we basically see the differences are mineralisable nitrogen. So with this mineralisable nitrogen, it's the first kind of set of results I'm going to show you. What I have here is 37 sites. That we sample from, and the mineralized nitrogen, which is measured in milligrams of ammonium per kg on our y-axis. And what you can see is across all our different Irish soils, we have a large range of nitrogen mineralization occurring. Now, I've highlighted two soils here at the end, which are in red. These two soils are what we call organic soils, in that they had soil organic matter levels above 20%. However, I've only got to these types of soils in the data range for our in our mineral soils. So when they're included in our mineral soils, they're acting as outliers. So for this reason, I'm excluding these in the remaining data that I'm going to present you today. So it's just going to be based on 35 mineral soils. So in terms of the nitrogen test that I looked at, when we compared to our standard anaerobic incubation test, here I have a table. The correlation is measured in coefficient determination, which is R squared. And I have a table, basically, where you see at the top the best correlation occurring is with the IS&T test, at 0.68, followed by UV260. And then you see at the bottom where acid oxidation and cold KCl, where absolutely no correlation was occurring. So we look at the two of these tests in a bit more detail where there was a correlation. Here we have our UV260 and our anaerobic incubation. So the UV260 readings on the x-axis and their anaerobic incubation measured in milligrams of ammonia per kg on the y-axis. So you can see there is a correlation there with 39% variability being explained. But when we look at the IS&T test, there's a better correlation occurring where you have IS&T on the x-axis measured in milligrams of ammonia per kg. And once again, the same with our anaerobic incubation. So where 68% of the variability is being explained across 35 mineral soils. So in conclusion, the potential nitrogen mineralization ranged from 92 to over 403 milligrams of ammonia per kg for our 35 Irish mineral soils. So there is our Irish recommendations need to account for this large supply of soil nitrogen that's been made available, so in order to increase our production efficiency. And when modelled, IS&T was the best predictor of nitrogen mineralization when explaining 68% of the variability. Now, further validation of the relationship between IS&T and plant availability is currently underway in controlled microcosm and field studies. So I'm just going to briefly mention about these, because this is just what the current work that I'm involved in. So with our controlled microcosm study, our objective is to validate the capacity of chemical nitrogen tester designs in tea to predict grass uptake, and we're looking across 30 soil types under controlled conditions. So what I have here is about, you've got about 30 soils replicated four times in a controlled environment where they're getting 50 degrees Celsius in temperature, and we're keeping them above 65% field capacity. We have they're getting about 80% humidity in that room, and they're on about 16 hours daylight cycle. So what we're doing is we're taking about, we're removing the grass around every 6 weeks, and we're also soil sampling as well. So just to give you some kind of really preliminary data, because this is ongoing at the moment, just I'm going to show you some preliminary data from the grass yields that we're getting from these pots. So this is the grass dry matter yield in megagrams per hectare on our y-axis, and then on our x-axis are 30 different soil types. So what seems to be, the data seems to be suggesting, is that there's a large range of nitrogen mineralization potential in these 30 soils, where it's causing a large range of dry matter yield under these controlled environment conditions. I'm going to mention then also what I'm involved in, which is a temporal field study. So what we're trying to achieve here is we're looking to assess the temporal variability of nitrogen mineralization in the soil and the nitrogen recovery in grass over the growing season. So this is typically almost a year. And we're also looking to investigate the capacity of the soil nitrogen tests to predict grass nitrogen uptake over an entire growing season, and examine what the influence that pH adjustments such as lime application and the application of organic and inorganic chemical fertilisers will have on the nitrogen mineralisation and the soil nitrogen tests. I would just like to finish off by acknowledging all the grassland farmers in Ireland that provided the sites for sampling a lot of soil. Also funding from the Irish Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine, and also all the supervisors, staff and students that helped me in this project from Chagas, Ashby and Queen's University in Belfast. Thanks very much, Gurev Matagut, and I'll take any questions.
We do have time for a couple of questions if anybody has
any. Yes. There's not a major wide range of grass species. A lot of the grass species is perennial ryegrass. There will be a certain types of mixture there, and some of them will be possibly a lot older pastures than others. I mean, some pastures we have are 20 years old from which we sample from, and others will be about 5 years old. So not a major amount, but there's, it's kind of a typical species of grass in Ireland will be a perennial ryegrass.
These fields that you're checking, are they, most of them, intensively grazed?
There will be a mixture. It's kind of across a different types of agriculture in Ireland. We didn't kind of specifically say undergrazed or intensification agriculture. We have some plots there that wouldn't be grazed as much, which would be typically sheep or beef farming. And then we have other plots that we sample from that are intensive dairy farms. So it gives a good indication of the varied mix. It's a good highlight of the type of agriculture that is happening in Ireland. No, we haven't. No. It's predominantly, what we just did is we're basing it on soil type. Because our current recommendations, they take into consideration the land holdings that you have and the type of livestock you had. So we were basing on that you would have higher organic outputs from a dairy cow than you would versus sheep. So current recommendations do take into enterprise types on farms, but we want to say that it doesn't really take into account what's there in the soil already and what the soil is providing. And then, you know, if we had that, we could work around then the current recommendations that do take livestock enterprises into account.
Okay.
Thank you.